God, we just thank you for one last time here to come for this week, just to receive your word. God, we just thank you for the opportunities that we've had to do work this week. We thank you for the opportunities for the people who we've been able to interact with. And God, we know that all the people, it's not just those people in Kalamazoo, but it's Tommy, and it's Tony, and it's Martha, and it's Kim, and it's individuals, God. And we thank you for them. We thank you for how they are uniquely created, and the gifts and talents and passions that they all have. We just pray for them that they continue to use those. God, we just pray for safe work today, and pray for a good time. We pray for Larry as he delivers this message. Just allow us to speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
How many of you guys like pictures? Any of you visual learners learn better if you can see something? I've got this book called Habitudes. This guy, Tim Elmore, writes a book, and all of his chapters have a picture. They all have a theme, and he kind of teaches from a picture. So I'm going to show you a picture. This is Mother Teresa. She was a famous Catholic nun who did a lot of work with people who are in poverty. So I wanted to read you a story about her. This is called the Calcutta Paradox. Dr. Tim Elmore says this. He says, I was part of a team invited to come and teach leadership in India. One of the highlights would be a special meeting with Mother Teresa in Calcutta. I discovered on the trip that Mother Teresa entered the world of the poor on August 17, 1948. She started alone with no funding from St. Mary's High School, where she'd been the principal. She left the famous, comfortable, elite school that had served the rich families to go to the slums where people lived in misery among rats and cockroaches, teaching the children of the nobodies and serving anyone who needed help. She remembers, one day, in a heap of rubbish, I found a woman who was half dead. Her body had been bitten by rats and ants. I took her to a hospital, but they told me that they didn't want her because they couldn't do anything for her. I protested, and I said I wouldn't leave unless they hospitalized her. They had a long meeting and finally granted my request, and that woman was saved. Afterwards, when thanking me for what I had done for her, she said, and to think it was my son who had thrown me in the garbage. Isn't that crazy? Teresa felt sad, and she felt like she had passed from heaven to hell. But she did it on purpose. And when asked why she moved to the slum, she replied, how can I serve the poor effectively unless I understand what they experience each day? One by one, her former students at the high school began to join her order. It grew over the years to become the largest order of its kind, with locations worldwide. She launched and inspired seven other organizations for both men and women, clergy and lay people to be involved. She won a Nobel Peace Prize in 1979. She spoke at Harvard's graduation. She spoke to presidents. For several years, she was voted the most influential woman in the world. It's an amazing story. But what enabled Mother Teresa to attract so many people? I call it the Calcutta Paradox. It was the fact that she was humble and didn't like attention that magnetically drew others to her. It was the fact that she didn't pursue fame that made her famous. It was the fact that she downplayed her importance that made her so irreplaceable as a leader. Several times, she was asked about the secret to her work, and she would only smile and sheepishly say, I am just a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world. Guys, I think that's pretty powerful stuff. Think about this. Pause for a second. Think about that. You are a little pencil in the hand of God who is writing a love letter to the world. That's wild. If you thought of it as your role today, you're like, God, just use me. Write with me today. I'm here. I am. I'm your pencil. Use my life. Use what's going on in my life and help me communicate your love to the people around me. You know, Mother Teresa is an example of somebody who's willing to get dirty, right? She didn't just stay comfortable. She went and got her hands dirty and went and was among the people that she was trying to reach. And in my mind, she had a big heart for discipleship. I don't know her heart and her faith and all those things, and I'm not sure if she understood all the things of the Bible and discipleship like we're going to talk about today. But she was living it. She was making disciples. You know what a disciple is? It's a follower. It's somebody who's learning something, right? And if you were going to be a disciple back in the time of Jesus, you could be a disciple of many things. More like an apprentice. So if you wanted to be a learner of some trade, maybe you become the blacksmith's apprentice, right? You become the disciple of the master blacksmith and you learn his craft and his skill. And a lot of times we think disciple is only a Christian word, or it's only about the 12 guys that follow Jesus, right? It's not. And it's in that time, it's a learner. So somebody who's a follower, somebody who's trying to become good at a skill or a trade or even a movement. And for the Christians at that time, a disciple is a follower of Jesus. What are they doing? They're apprenticing themselves to the master. Hey, I want to become more like you. I want to follow you. I want to train me. Teach me how to love people. Teach me how to be like Jesus. So if you have a Bible, I want you to take a look at Matthew 28. We're going to take a look at what a lot of people call the Great Commission. So Jesus is at the end of his life and nearing his time on earth is coming to a close, and he's passing on the torch to his followers to carry on the message. And he's teaching them how to do it. So Matthew 28, verse 18, it says this. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And a better translation might be not just go, but like as you go, make disciples. That as you live your life, as you're going, make disciples. Well, again, what's a disciple? It's a follower of Jesus. It's a follower. It's a learner. So how do you do that? That's an interesting question. How do you make disciples? What do you guys think? How do you make followers of Christ? What do you think might be some key parts to that? Knowing the Bible, yeah, and helping them know God, for sure, yeah. If your friend was lost and struggling and wrestling with faith and whether God exists or not and how they might be forgiven or not, what would you say to them? How could they become a disciple? How could they become a follower of Jesus?
You got to be a good example of the church.
Okay, so it might be help if you're going to be the teacher, then you better be living a good example, right? You might be you got to have your heart in the right place. You got to be a follower of Jesus yourself if you're going to make other followers of Jesus. That makes sense. And make sure your walk is matching your talk, right? All right. Well, a lot of you are wearing the path of Jesus on your wrist, right? How do you make a disciple? Well, you tell them the story of God, right? That that God loves them, right? And the bad news is that we sin and mess up, and sin is dark, and our hearts are dark. And then Jesus sacrificed his blood. He died on the cross for our sins. He was God. He died on the cross for our sins, proved he was God by not staying dead. I don't know if you guys get that. He didn't stay dead. He rose 3 days later from the grave, proving that he had the power over death so that he could hand out life to you and me. Do you know why he could die for your sin? Because he was sinless. Everybody's got their own debt to pay, and if you're a sinner, then you have to pay your own debt. The reason Jesus could pay our debt is because he did not sin. He proved he was God, and he rose again. And then you've got, we're white and clean. We can be forgiven. And then how do you grow? Well, that's the whole thing. How do you make disciples? Right now, you help people grow. So that's just a simple, we've been talking about that. You've got it on your wrist. Maybe you've given some bracelets away. I've even got a few more left if you want to take any more today. Can you put up the next slide for me? How do you make disciples? Everybody say this. Share it. Share. Oh, gosh, you're dead. Stand up. I'm not putting up with it. Stand up. Stand up. Yeah, you're going to pay for being up late every night. All right, everybody say share it.
Share it.
Oh, that's better. Everybody say tell it.
Tell it.
Everybody say live it.
Live it.
Everybody say show it.
Show it.
All right, we're going to do it fast. Can you follow me? Share it, tell it, live it, show it.
Share it, tell it, live it, show it.
One more. Share it, tell it, live it, show it.
Share it, tell it, live it, show it.
All right, have a seat. So what do? You share God's story. And you know what I didn't add to this bracelet? You know what makes this even more powerful? Your story. Share this and then add your story. Like for me, when I was probably 7 or 8, I remember praying in my room because I was afraid that all my family members were going to go to heaven and I wasn't. I was going to be left out. And I remember my sister at the time had gotten diabetes, and she was a few years older than me, and I was afraid, and I didn't understand it. And we went to the hospital, and the nurses were training us how to give my sister insulin shots if she wasn't able to do it for herself. And they're talking about the different reactions that she could have and how we could care for her. I was kind of freaked out as a younger brother that she was going to die, and I was scared. And I remember watching her faith. And I remember her reading her Bible in her room, and I remember her praying for God to heal her. And I remember her faith. I was upset with God about it. And I was watching her embrace it and embrace her faith and turn to God in it. And you know what? God didn't heal her of it. And she went on later to become a nurse, and now she helps diabetic patients. You know, and God used it in her life, and she's living a long life, and she's healthy, and that's amazing. But at the time, I didn't know. And so part of my story is watching my sister's faith. And I remember going to a camp similar to this in New York. I was young, I prayed, but probably like 14, went to this camp in New York called Lake Champion. And I remember laying under the stars at night, it was a Young Life camp, and praying and saying, all right, God, here's my heart, here's my soul, take my life, help me to follow you, as a kind of a recommitment. Because I really meant it when I was little, 7 or 8, praying in my own room, but kind of renewed my commitment to God and really understood what following Jesus meant. God has changed my life. All right, so, you know, I just added my story to the bracelet. Like, wow, that's all of a sudden it's a little bit more powerful, right? So add your piece to it. You know, where were you? How did you come to faith in Christ? What's your story? How does that go? And, you know, people can't really argue with your life experience, right? Because it happened to you, and it's true to you. And so sharing your story can be a powerful, powerful tool. So that's the next part. Tell it, your story. So I just did that with you. Live it. Put your faith into action. Right? You nailed it. I mean, we've got to live it, right? If we're going to teach it, we got to do it. But here's the thing: you don't have to be perfect at it. And some of the best teachers have made some big mistakes, but they're willing to own them and admit them and confess them and get back on the right path. Because we're human and we struggle, and that's part of the reality of following Jesus. Is we're going to have ups and downs. We're going to have moments of faith. And we're going to have moments of doubt. The cool thing about King David, he was really a man after God's own heart, especially at the beginning. And then he screws up really, really big time and has an affair with another woman and gets her husband killed. And he does all this stuff that's not good. And in my mind, I'm like, how can God call this guy a man after his own heart? And as I read through Samuel and learned more about David, he keeps coming back to God. He's confronted by Nathan. He has a Psalm 51 is a Psalm of confession, a community lament, really, where he's admitting to the public, because he was a public figure, that he screwed up. And in his heart, he keeps coming back to God. He keeps having the soft heart. So I'm not asking you to be perfect, but put your faith into action, right? And then the last one is to show it. Show somebody how they can grow. So how do I grow? Can I make it really, really simple? It's you with a friend. Invite them to do something social, and then invite them to do something spiritual. Are you with me? So, like, in our group, I love combining food with discipleship, right? So you go grab a burrito or some pizza or some Cinnabon, or you grab, you know, some time together, and you cook out hot dogs in the back, and then you couple it with some Bible study or some talking about life and faith. Or are you with me? Tracking with me? Maybe you do a girls' event and you guys do a fun thing, and then you couple it with, you know, a study on body image. Or you're a guy and you're into video games, and so you pull some guys together, or you're into sports, and you do an event and you do a competition, and then you couple it with a story about an athlete who, you know, was following Jesus as well. And what does it look like to be a godly athlete on the court or on the field? Are you with me? As a couple of your discipleship, do something fun and do something meaningful too. All right, I want to give you an acronym called GROWTH. GROWTH. It's not mine, it's from Youth for Christ, but it's a great way to learn discipleship and to learn how to help people grow, right? So the first one, everybody say, go to God daily. You want to help a friend grow? Teach him to go to God daily. And do it yourself. R is for rely on God's strength. Say that with me. Rely on God's strength. Yeah, part of being a follower of Jesus is relying on him. Relying on the Bible, asking God for help. And you know what the crazy thing is? Our culture doesn't like to rely on anybody else but ourselves. We love independence. Teenagers are striving with funds and independence, usually from their parents. And moving toward adulthood, that's normal. Okay? But don't just fuck everybody. You need somebody to lean on. It's got to be God. You know, you got to rely on God and lean on the wisdom in the Bible and ask God to help you. Everybody say obey.
Obey
God moment by moment. So you're in a moment. What movie do I go to? Well, I help. If you ask God, hey God, is this movie going to be all right for me? Well, I don't know. Well, then maybe you look at a review before you go. And you evaluate, hey, is this going to have sexual content or foul language or a ton of violence, or this is going to be good for me, or is this going to pull me away from God, right? Maybe it's music, and so you got your phone or your iPod or whatever, and you're looking through your playlist, and you're like, you know what? How do I obey God moment by moment? Well, maybe I take out the explicit lyric songs now. Or maybe I set some restrictions on my device that limits my ability to look at the internet and look at inappropriate stuff. Find out whatever you struggle with, and find a way to obey God moment by moment, you know? The Pine Hills group invited me to join them last night for a pretty cool prayer time and discussion. And we talked a little bit about accountability. And so obeying God moment by moment, sometimes you're weak. And you need a friend who in the moment can help you make a good choice, you know? And so you're vulnerable. I said, you'll figure out what you struggle with and when you're tempted the most. And then find a friend who can ask you about it, you know? So maybe you're with your boyfriend or girlfriend and your friend, you gave them permission to do this. You're like, hey, what did you do last night? Hey, where did you touch her? Hey, what did you talk about? Hey, what were you doing? Hey, what time did you go to bed? Hey, was anybody else home? Hey, were the lights on? Are you with me? So you get some accountability. You say, hey, did you treat that person honorably? Maybe you're struggling with something else. Maybe it's you struggle with your body image and eating, and maybe you don't eat enough, and so you're starving yourself. Or maybe you're eating too much, and when you're stressed, you just consume food. And maybe you need a friend who can say, hey, did you have enough to eat today? Did you eat three meals today? Or, hey, you know what? Maybe chill out on the snack food. Maybe back off the energy drinks. Maybe you need to, get some exercise and have a more balanced approach. Okay? I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I know I struggle with stuff. The point of this obeying God moment by moment is finding a friend who you can invite to help you obey God in those moments, right? Worship in a local church. If you're not connected with a local church, may I would urge you, find a church that has the same beliefs and get plugged in. Maybe that's exactly where you are. Maybe you're just coming with a friend this week. Maybe you check out the church a little bit more seriously. Maybe you start going on Sunday, or maybe you start going to youth group. But not just you. Remember, we're trying to make disciples? So who could you bring? Who could you bring along to youth group this week? Who's a friend you could invite? You know? What's an activity that you can bring them to that maybe your group is doing? Tell others about Jesus. That's kind of what today is about, and this whole week has been about serving and telling others about Jesus. Sometimes it's with words, sometimes it's with your actions. But at some point you're gonna need to loosen up your mouth and share a little bit that God loves you and that there is a plan, there is a way for you to be forgiven, there is a way for you to be set free, there is a way to go to heaven, and it's in the Bible and it's spelled out for us, and you can share and tell other people, hey, guess what? The God of the universe decided you are so valuable, he left heaven, and he came to earth in the form of a man, this man Jesus. And I'm not just making it up. Roman historians have documented that Jesus really lived and that Jesus was killed on the cross. Now, they deny that he was God, and that's how salvation works, but you can read Roman historical accounts of crucifixion was a real thing, the Romans did, and that Jesus was a good teacher or a spiritual teacher. You can read about him in history books that aren't religious, right? But we know that he was more than just a religious teacher. He was God in the flesh. So tell other people about him. And then the Holy Spirit. We haven't talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. But when Jesus left, he gave us his spirit to live in us. That when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, I believe in that moment of salvation when you've given your faith and your heart and your life to God, that we get God's Spirit, and that God's Spirit lives in us and gives us spiritual gifts and helps equip us and teach us and remind us of what's true in Scripture and gives us the ability to have courage to go out and share our faith. Gives us that conviction in our heart when we do what's wrong, that the Spirit, God didn't just leave you on your own. Sometimes it feels like that all happened in history. I wasn't there for it. I can't see it. So it feels a little bit like God's invisible and he's not around. But the truth is, Jesus left so that he could send his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, they call it a counselor, in your heart, living in you, kind of a spiritual conscience, if you will. Everybody's got a conscience, but I'm talking about the Holy Spirit adding and moving and working in your life. And in a lot of ways, that's what draws us to Jesus in the first place, you know? But tell someone that you're trying to help make a disciple, you're trying to help them grow, that they're not alone. That God gives them his Spirit to help them grow and to remind them of the truth of Scripture. I want to give you another example of what it looks like to mentor somebody. And this book is called The Mentor Leader, written by Tony Dungy, famous NFL football coach, spent a lot of time with the Indianapolis Colts. But he talks a lot about leadership and mentoring in his book, and he says this. He says, as a mentor and leader, I have found that I cannot move the ball forward with positive, nurturing leadership until I do seven things. He calls these the seven E's of enhancing potential. Okay? Seven E's. He says, I can't move the ball forward with positive, nurturing leadership until I, one, engage with those I am blessed to lead. And then, once I've engaged with them, I'm able to educate and equip. And throughout the process, it is essential to encourage and empower and energize in order to finally elevate the people around me. So talk with me for a minute. What does it look like to engage with somebody? If you're trying to help, you're trying to make disciples, what do you do if you're going to engage? Well, yeah, let me flip it. If you're a coach, but you're disengaged, what's that like? You have a team, you have a coach, but the coach is disengaged. Is that good or bad? That's bad. Why?
He's not doing anything.
He's not doing anything, right? And maybe he's just up in a box or up in the bleachers, and he's not down with the team. He's not down with the players. He doesn't know what it's like to be on the field. He's just far away. He's disconnected. So, engaged, in with the people. You know who was engaged? Mother Teresa. We just read about her, right? She was in the poverty with the people, trying to help them. Okay? So for you, you already engaged in so many relationships with school and friends, right? You've got some connection with people. So maybe use that influence that you've got. It would be hard today if you wanted to share about Jesus, but you weren't willing to help sort any clothes, or you weren't willing to help in the kitchen. If you weren't willing to put in the work for the workers who are there, it's going to be really hard for them to listen to you. Does that make sense? So be engaged by doing the work that they're also doing, or doing the work to improve the community center, so that, well, you build trust when you engage, right? And then he says this, to educate and equip. So we already talked about how do you educate somebody to be a disciple? You tell them about the story of God, right? And you share yours. And to equip them, like I gave you this little evangelism tool, but that's just one of many that you could use. Find a way to help your friends feel like they're empowered and equipped to follow God, right? Encourage. How many of you like encouragement? Does that feel good? When you get a note, or you get a high five, or you get a text from somebody, and they cheer you on, they support you, and you feel loved, you feel cared about. And sometimes, as followers of Jesus, we need encouragement. Like, hey, you know what? Stay on the path. Or, hey, you made a really great choice there. Hey, you know what? Keep serving. That was really cool what you did. Let's keep it up. That helps. Empower. Letting people have the ability to grow. So, if you want to empower a friend, maybe you hand them a Bible. You want to empower them? You give them some tools. You invite them to church and you go together and you sit together. You invite them to youth group and you pick them up at their house and you bring them over. You empower them, you give them some tools, and then you know maybe you help them help their friends too. Energize? I think that's about an attitude. You ever had a coach who was energetic? Or a pastor who was energetic? Or somebody in your life who was a really great cheerleader? That can go a long way. And so maybe you give them some energy that way. And then last is elevate. to elevate the people around you? How could you elevate your friends and lift them up? And if you're trying to make disciples, how do you elevate somebody to the point where they can feel like they could go and do it too? Or that they're getting the glory and the credit instead of you? And I think that's challenging, but I think that's also a really, really great piece to it. There's some really great verses in Matthew about being salt and being light. Any of you guys have a salt shaker on your table for breakfast? I think there's a bunch in the dining hall. What is salt good for? Flavor, okay? But back in the day when they didn't have refrigeration, what was salt good for?
Preserving
food, yeah. So think about those two purposes of salt, okay? There might be more, but those are the two major ones. Flavoring, we get that, and a preservative. So, check this out in Matthew 5. It says this: "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." And it goes on to say this: "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Anybody bring a flashlight on the trip? Okay. What's a flashlight good for at night? Light? It's good for seeing in the dark? You ever been in the woods in the dark? Sometimes it helps to have a flashlight to see that stump or that rock or where the path might wind, right? In my house, my kids like Legos. Many times I have stepped on a sharp Lego in the night, right? Buried in the carpet or on the floor or on the steps or wherever. Having a flashlight can help avoid stuff like that, right? Here's what I want you guys to get. Jesus is inviting us to be salt and to be light. To be the flavor in a flavorless world. And to be a preservative, to preserve the word of God in the world. That's pretty cool. And to be a light in a dark place, okay? Have you guys been to like a candlelight service where you're doing like maybe silent night at Christmas time, or you're passing a candle and lighting other people's candles? Or maybe you've been in a dark room and you light a candle and it gives some warm light to the room, right? And the Bible's like, look, don't cover that up. Let it shine, right? And you might know the old song, "This Little Light of Mine," right? "I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." You guys, it's not just a song. Look. Be a light at your school. Be a light on the court. Be a light on the field. Be a light in your workplace. Shine for God and be a flavoring and a preservative in the world. You guys, you can do that even today. As you're out serving. But I want you to also take that message home. Because we talked all week long that the church is about gathering and scattering, right? We've been getting together for some training and now we're going back out. You're going back out to Kalamazoo today. But you're also going back home tomorrow. So remember, take these truths with you and make a difference back home as well. I want to go back to the growth slide. Can we do that one? You guys, I'm just going to throw this out there. It's not up there, but we had a really cool experience where one of the girls on our trip, her family wasn't really following God, and she'd come on her own, really, and been following Jesus herself privately, but not really connected. And she wanted to get baptized. And we had a really awesome opportunity to baptize her in the Lake of Miracle Camp two Kalamazoo trips ago at Shago. It's pretty crazy, pretty wild. I have no idea if that's where your hearts or your lives are, but another piece of growth is also baptism. It's not something you have to do, but it's an act of obedience that just shows an outward sign of what's already true in your heart. And I don't know where your leaders are at, but you might want to talk to your leader about maybe getting baptized back home at your church, or maybe even the possibility of doing that this afternoon out on the lake. I would urge you to talk with your youth leaders about how your church does that and what that looks like. But that's just another cool step of obedience. Again, an outward sign of what's true in your heart. You've given your life to Jesus. Another act of obedience. Pine Hills invited me to join them last night for a really cool prayer time. Let me just ask you to be courageous. Like, we had a prayer of salvation at the end last night. Was that a first time for anybody? Did anybody put their faith in Jesus last night that we were willing to say, hey, you know what, that was me. I put my faith in Christ, and I want to be a follower. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I know it's kind of courageous, and maybe I don't know how you feel about the trust factor with everybody here. Tell somebody. If you really meant that in your heart last night, tell somebody. Tell a friend. Tell one of your leaders. And then go and help do this. Like, pass that on. Share that. Help make disciples of more teenagers, more followers of Jesus. You guys, let me just close with kind of wrapping up the whole theme for the week. Gathering to be devoted and equipped. I want to give you a tool. You want to help equip other teenagers? I've got a website that I've put together called AmplifyMinistries.org, and you can write an article for other teenagers for you. I had some of our students write some devotional articles, just like a one and a half page time with God. It starts with a story, gets into the Bible, and just some life application. I would invite you and your leaders, hey, if you're interested, write an article about one of the topics that we talked about this week, right? About gathering and scattering, about being equipped, about being devoted, about being loving, and then even today, as we talk about making disciples. So I went ahead and started writing a few, and I've already posted them on there. So when you go back this week, I'm going to give the link to your leaders, and they can just text it to you or send it to you, or put a link on your church's website to it, or whatever you want to do, that you have some time with God that's focused around this theme. Leaders, let me urge you, hey, you know what? Take some time and write an article that you can share with your students. Share a story on our website and talk about it. Tell about it. I would love to review it, look at it, and then give you an opportunity to have it posted and other people can read about it. Hey, you know what? This is what happened in the kitchen today. This is what happened in my heart. Or hey, this is what happened when we were out doing landscaping or whatever. And then scattering, to be loving and making disciples. Maybe you didn't get a chance to give your bracelet away. Maybe you had two and you gave one away. Let me urge you, give them both away. And if you didn't do it here at camp, let me urge you, take them home and share them with people in your life. Share them with people back in your community. So if you haven't had a chance to do that, let me urge you, share your faith, tell the story, give the bracelet away. Here's a way you can stay connected with me. There's my email up there, larry.ely1@gmail. You can go to our website. And those are some of the articles that we have posted up there. There's one on failure that's about Fortnite because I really stink at it. There's one about soccer. There's one on football. There's one on dancing. There's one on fishing. There's one about Star Wars. I just wrote one about the zip line and posted that. And a silly one about pets. So we'd love for you guys to find ways that you can grow and connect. If you've got a phone or device, you can even just take a quick snapshot of that, leaders, or if you want to chat with me later, I'd love to get your cell phone numbers and be able to send you the link to that stuff, too. Cool? Hey, you know what? If you're looking for someone to come to your church and speak, I'm available. So let me know if you need a youth leader or if you need a special guest speaker or if you know of another retreat or camp that could use a speaker. I'd appreciate any shout-outs there. Cool? Can I pray for you guys? God, as these guys go out today, would you give them strength? Would you help them make disciples? Would you help them share the message of God? Would you help them be salt and be light in their world? God, would you give them courage and hope? And I pray that you protect them from the enemy. I pray that you guard their hearts and minds. I pray that you build them up and give them strength and help them to finish well today. Help them not to bail out early. Help them to persevere and give them the strength they need. Help them to be unified as a team. In Jesus' name, amen.